High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Howard Sexton, you've been following this very, very closely. How does it differ from what you would have predicted thus far? Where are we?
So the honest answer is we have no idea where we are.
Okay.
Like if we're going to speculate, and that's going to allow us to make all sorts of calls, but the truth is it's much too early to call. And the reason why it's too early to call is because so many Americans voted before Election Day. And we're not entirely sure which votes they're currently counting. Uh-huh. And so 100 million Americans. Now, in 2016, only 130 million Americans voted. This year, 100 million Americans voted before Election Day.
It's unbelievable.
Which probably means we're guessing that the final tally may be 160 million Americans voting. So maybe 30 million Americans more than last time. We're not entirely sure. So many more votes in the system. And we now want to know, the general thought is that Democrats who are more concerned about COVID voted early because they didn't want to stand in queues and be there in the rush.
So they would have been Biden supporters.
They would have been Biden supporters.
Right.
And that Republicans would have arrived on the day much less fearful or concerned about the virus. So now it comes down, the first results to come in, are they going to be the ones that were cast early or the ones that were cast on the day?
Right.
And it differs state by state. And that's why it gets very, very difficult to predict exactly where things are going. But I think the one thing that we're beginning to understand, this Biden landslide that was predicted in the polls, that's not materializing. Doesn't mean to say he won't win the election.
No, absolutely. As you've said, we don't know that yet. We don't know who's going to win. But what is clear is it's a tight race.
It's a very tight race. And the other thing that we now know for sure, and we learned it in 2016, but we now know 100%, is Americans lie to pollsters.
Yeah. It's fascinating. There's somebody, I actually read somewhere that this is as much an election about polls as it is about Trump, Biden, because, you know, you can get it wrong once and you can explain it away because everybody was blindsided in 2016. And we all were. Well, certainly I was. I more than anybody, I was completely flawed. But you shouldn't do it again. It shouldn't happen again.
Well, the trouble is that it's not the polls problem. It's the problems Americans lie. And who's actually lying? The people who are lying are Trump supporters.
Oh, it has to be. Who are embarrassed to say that they voted for Trump.
Too embarrassed that they support Trump. And that's a fundamental problem. What do you do when people lie because they're too embarrassed to tell you what they actually
mean? But the problem might start one step further back. If Trump has been demonized by media, I'm playing the other side, and certainly in certain publications, of course, that he has been. We know this. If Trump has been demonized, that could be the reason that people are afraid to or embarrassed to say, well, actually, yes, I am voting for the guy, because we all feel a little uncomfortable about saying something that other people don't agree with or make you feel lesser than because you have that view. So you might lie about that. So I think it's actually not only a reflection of maybe the fact that people are lying, but I think you need to look at the fact of why they're lying. Are they lying because Trump is an embarrassing person to say you vote for? Or are they lying because they are made to feel embarrassed about their choice?
Well, I think the way American politics works is each side demonizes the other. If you watch Fox News or Fox Entertainment, because in my mind it's not really news, but if you watch Fox Entertainment, they're doing nothing but demonizing the other side.
Absolutely.
If you watch the way, for example, Donald Trump used to behave towards Barack Obama, it was nothing but demonization.
Absolutely.
So it's not a media thing. It's a political thing.
No,
the way the
American
political discourse works.
I guess you're right. They started, and then media follows. But it actually is a media thing. And I'm not saying that it is one side or the other, because then all it means is, so Fox is absolutely pro-Trump, CNN is Democrat, but then there might be a couple of other CNNs. So it just depends on who's got the greater coverage.
But let's face it, if a pollster went out and said, Howard, are you a racist, or do you like racism, or did you support apartheid? You know, how would you answer? You know, we all know that wonderful song, everyone's a little bit racist. Mm. In some way, everyone is a little bit racist. Mm. Would you ever admit it to someone? Nah, it's something that you hold deep within you and you try to suppress and not admit. And I think Trump supports you something similar, because some of the values that he represents, maybe not the things that you're most proud of in life, but maybe something that you feel deep down inside.
So are you suggesting that anybody that votes for Donald Trump is a racist?
No, but I think there are a lot of racists out there who find comfort in the Trump view.
Mm.
But they don't necessarily want to admit it in public. It's a privately held belief. They don't like immigrants.
What is interesting, though, is, and I'm starting to see this coming across the news sites, is that Trump's support from the Hispanic community has grown, which is a very, very interesting, aspect to it.
Well, you know, I think there are a few interesting aspects. Number one, he made some inroads amongst young black voters, which I think is absolutely fascinating. Despite his approach to Mexico and his anti-immigrant stance, he made inroads amongst the Hispanics. There's something about Biden that Hispanics just didn't buy into. Mm. So, but at the same time, he lost a lot of the women's votes. Or at least that's what the polls are predicting. We don't actually know, because we don't know how people voted. Oh, excuse me. But yes. I think it's really interesting when you look at some of the exit polling.
Yes.
And they ask people, for example, do you describe yourself as liberal, moderate, or conservative?
Mm-hmm.
Well, people who describe themselves as liberal, a liberal worldview, 89% of them voted for Biden.
Okay.
10% of liberals voted for Trump. Of conservatives, 14% voted for Biden and 84% voted for Trump. But the most fascinating thing is that people who describe themselves as moderate, Biden got 64% of their vote.
That's interesting. That is interesting. So moderates, he gets 64%. It is fascinating. I really hope that people will look at the numbers and media. Look, it does need to start, in my view, with the behavior of the parties and the candidates. What we've seen over the last while is just such a shocking, lowering of standards amongst candidates. No respect for each other. No real discourse. It's just one soundbite after another, each one being more vile and embarrassing than the rest. And I don't think that it's one side or the other. What I saw coming out of what Joe Biden had to say, what Donald Trump had to say about his opponents, it's just appalling. And I don't know how they ever pull it back.
Look, I think when you look at what's happened in America, and let's take some of the examples, the fact that Biden's bus was run off the road by Trump supporters in really an act of violence, the fact that Republicans put down fake ballot boxes that said, leave your ballot box here, and they weren't ballot boxes because they were trying to encourage Democrat supporters to put their ballots in boxes where it wouldn't be counted. When you look at that sort of behavior, you have to think, this is the third world. America is the third world. That's the sort of behavior that we saw happening.
Are we sending people over to monitor this election?
But we should.
To see if it should, if it's free and fair.
That's the depth that American democracy has come to. The fact that yesterday a judge, a Republican judge, and I think it was Texas, ruled that a polling station has to have a roof and four walls or it's not valid in order to invalidate drive-through polling stations, which are all tents, because they believe that the Democrats would prefer to drive through and not get out of their cars because of corona. So they invalidated drive-through polling stations. Now, where on earth does one get a polling station has to have four walls and a roof?
Yeah.
I mean, this is the behavior that you expect from the most primitive anti-democratic society in the world. And you're seeing it in America. And where has America gone so wrong that their political discourse has just turned into an embarrassment? There was a stage where America was the beacon of the world, where it was the light of democracy. Everyone wanted to be like America.
Yeah.
And you look at it today, and everyone in America, you know, someone sent me a message on Instagram today to say, please, will you adopt me? I may need to flee America.
I think that is so funny. You know, it reminds me of when I was a child, when we were children, and we would be kids and maybe complain about nothing. And I remember my father saying, I'll give you something to cry about. Genuinely, I think Americans have nothing to cry about. They live in one of the most prosperous, unbelievably successful countries in the world. Yes, of course, there's issues because people are issued. We all have our stuff. But wow, I would trade any day in terms of the level of innovation, sophistication, and even politics of America. Yes, I think it's appalling that it's come down to this type of rhetoric. But I hardly think that there are many countries in the world that rival the standard of America. I think that in many ways they've caused their own conflict within their own societies by simply just deciding that they have it.
But you know, I think it also comes down to a moral issue. Do you require for yourself to live in a society that reflects your own personal morals? And I think for some people, it's quite difficult. If you believe that your government is amoral, and let's take, for example, the fact that they separated on the Mexican border children from their parents, and there are over 500 children they can't find the parents from. Mm-hmm. Like, that goes down to the very core morality of a society. And if you're uncomfortable with that, no matter how prosperous your society is, no matter how innovative your society is, if you see your government doing stuff like that, do you say, well, you know, it's fine, I don't believe in it, but it's okay? Or do you actually say, there's a fundamental disconnect between my own moral beliefs? It's not just the political belief, it's a moral belief. And that discomfort is a big problem for a lot of people.
So how do we, if you take that statement and those comments, which are absolutely valid, and bring them back here to South Africa, places us in a very invidious position in terms of our own moral reflection if we look at behavior of our environment and government?
Well, let's face it. Why did so many people leave South Africa during the apartheid years? Now, part of this was economic future uncertainty, but part of it was a fundamental moral belief that we didn't want to live in a society that was practicing institutionalized racism. So, and you know, you still see to this day, people make decisions for their own lives based on a number of factors. And I appreciate that economic well-being, economic future, is part of it. But also it's like, do you identify with the society that you live in? You know, if the EFF were running amok in South Africa, would we want to live in a society like that, that was reflective of those morals? Even if we could continue to live in our little bubbles. And I think a lot of people in America start feeling great, great discomfort, moral discomfort with some of the actions of their government.
I'd love your thoughts on this. 34519 or 0618951019. I'm chatting to Howard Saxton. We're, of course, talking about the American elections. Is it fundamentally a broken system or a broken society? Does it not reflect the morals of the American people? And is this a bigger problem than simply choosing the next president? Are you surprised that Florida seems to have gone to the Republicans?
I must say I'm not so surprised, given the fact that the Hispanic community in particular seems to be Trump supporting. Mm-hmm. Also, there's a large Jewish population in Florida, particularly elderly Jewish, and I think the affinity that Trump has shown for Israel has certainly had an effect there. So I'm not entirely surprised. I'm also not surprised that Texas seems to have gone back Trump. I think Pennsylvania is going to be the key. That's the one we really have.
It does seem to be the one that, according to Wayne Sussman as well yesterday, that is the one to watch. We don't have a lot of time left, but you conducted a fantastic webinar on Sunday night. I was only able to be there for part of it. What was the general, and you had experts from literally around the world talking about the elections. What was the prevailing sentiment towards the end of it?
So, you know, it was wonderful because in the first part, Howard, you spoke about body language of the candidates. We had John Matteson, one of the best analysts in the country, speaking about them. Wayne Sussman. We even had a psychologist evaluating the mental health of all the candidates. But we ended with six Trump supporters and six Biden supporters debating each other in a very civilized, intelligent way, and I must say both sides really impressed me. I thought it was fantastic. But we polled all the people watching, and these are primarily South African, primarily Jewish, and in our community, 55% of people support Biden and 45% support Trump. Now, I think it's interesting because I think if you polled your radio station listeners...
You know, and I did this yesterday, and we had very little support for Biden. Very little. So it's fascinating.
So I think it's very fascinating over what media you listen to, whether you're open to ideas, whether in fact you find comfort. You know, people go to places or gravitate to places. And I think it's no secret that our views are slightly different. Absolutely. I'm very respectful of your views, but I think you way to the right of me. And I think Kathy Taylor is way to the right of you. But, you know, I think high attracts a more right-wing audience.
It could be.
That's the reality. Mm. And there are a lot more Trump supporters on high than you'd find in the general Jewish community. But it was very interesting, and we wanted to understand and poll, and 55% of people were Biden supporters. And we polled right the way through, and it was very interesting. We said, what is the most important issue if you were a voter? And Corona comes out number one. Foreign policy does fairly well amongst South African Jews. So support for Israel is very important to them. But when they poll American Jews, foreign policy is not a big issue. Less than 5% of American Jews vote for a candidate based on their foreign policy.
Howard Saxton, we do need to leave it there. I am late for doing traffic, but that was fascinating. Thank you, as always.